Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, Doug Mellard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
How's Texas? Great. Our guest today. How is it going there?
It's awesome. It's nice. Yeah. Cool for Texas. So. Hell yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, the weather's flipping everywhere, you know, like, well, not everywhere. California's still hot, but you know, you get the idea. extreme weather events, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Anything can come up on Wide World of Dougs, but we don't seek out topics like that. Our guest today is a longtime friend, stand-up comedian, host of several ongoing podcasts, including Dumb People Town with the Scarbros. Ooh. Do you listen to podcasts at all, Doug Mellard?
Yeah, of course.
So you've heard that one, Dumb People Town?
Yeah.
All right. Well, because this is kind of an audition for you. Maybe, you know, if you have good banter with DVK, he can invite you over to DPT.
Yeah, buddy.
He's made many appearances on Doug Loves Movies as himself and, of course, Mark Wahlberg. It's Thursday, July 15th. What, did you say something?
No. You're going crazy.
It's Thursday, July 15th. I know, I've been getting out of the house and it's driving me mad. I'd rather just stay in. It's Thursday, July 15th, 2021. And we should have said this what the fuck? we missed our anniversary is my point. And we're like a we didn't do a show last week because I had this weird ass sneezing fit right when we were supposed to start. And I said, can we just punt this? And and so I was supposed to announce on that show, I think, that it was our 1 year anniversary. So happy anniversary, Doug. We've been doing this for a year.
You too, dude.
We started,
but now we're back in the world.
Yeah. And let's go to work. Hello, DVK.
Hi, friends.
Hey. That's the first time I've done that. That's the first time I realized that I could extend the song with the name of the guest. And that was beautiful.
It works.
But maybe next week, who knows? I might just keep in hello, DVK, just be like an inside joke. You know, just like, you know, a Carol Burnett pulling on her ear, me sure. Just saying hello, DVK. That's a nod to you specifically, but all the DVKs in the world.
Yeah, and that's also Carol Burnett's mom's name is DVK. So,
no. You know.
Is that true?
Sure.
Sure.
I just love not, the, I
I've never the, heard a person with facts right. Come back with sure. Possibly.
Yeah.
You don't know that it's not true. That's what this is.
That's all you
on.
Need these days to not yep. Know that it's not true.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know anything about science, so I don't know what this is, this climate change, so I don't believe in it.
Exactly.
I'm gonna study to find out about a thing I already don't believe in. What did I look like? An idiot? How's it going, Daniel?
It's going good, my friends. It's good. It's like, you know, we're you kept pretty busy through the pandemic, and Doug, I bet you did as well. You guys can figure out who I'm talking to, but
we started this pandemic.
Ooh, I love a good pancake.
Yeah, we started it over breakfast during the pandemic, so that's why it's a pancake case.
That's awesome.
And
It feels good to have like good things. You know, I was busy trying to do a whole bunch of like digital shows and stuff like that, but now to like be busy to working and being back out on the road and stuff, you know, and we just did like some in studio stuff with Rory and I for Pen Pals, and same for Dumb People Town. So I don't know, just things are feeling good. I'm glad. I'm happy.
I feel bad for the people that are at the part of their career where the pandemic really like kind of stops some momentum, and they may have some trouble, you know, getting things going again. Cause I've been just absolutely delighted at, you know, I'm not, you know, going to pack Coliseums or anything, but just the fact that, you know, basically work is back to, you know, pretty much what it was pre-pandemic, you know, and I'm taking it easy. I'm not doing a ton of shows, but all the ones I'm doing and the ones I've done so far have been super fun. The people that come out are like the right mix of comedy fans and adventurers.
Yeah. And that's the thing though about like Douglas movies, dude. It's such a, like the live version of that show is such a hang, like for the audience as much as the people on stage, that it's just I think it's a vibe people really want. Like it's a low threshold for a good time. Like you don't, you know, it's not even like getting all jazzed up to like dance around a concert. Like, no, you're going to go to this comedy club or this alt venue and just chill out with a whole bunch of other like fun people who are going to have fun together doing this show. So
it's a no pressure part-time, you know, it only takes an afternoon cult.
Right.
You know, you just get all the cultiness out. You show up and you sort of worship movies with me and nobody gets hurt. You make a new friend or two and you join up again at a later date.
Oh, yeah.
The pressure in cults is what makes them dangerous. So,
right. If you can get your cult out in the afternoon and still have your Saturday night, that's a great cult.
No, the people that come to see Doug Loves Movies, they love the show and they become friends with each other, but they are individuals. They're different and special.
Yeah.
And I almost said snowflake, but we can't say that anymore. They're special like a snowflake.
Fingerprint. Is that better?
They're special like a fingerprint. No, because then you get all the people that are upset about crime up in your face. People that don't want to be fingerprinted, you know, those people.
Yeah, that's a huge faction of the population too.
Growing.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. Yep. But I'm glad everybody to listen to this podcast has to be fingerprinted because it really makes me feel safe. Let's get into your name, buddy. Growing up, Daniel, how was it? Like, that's your given name, yes?
Yes, yes. I do use my current name is not my given name, but the Daniel part has always stayed the same. So yeah, Daniel, Danny to anybody who grew up with me, my entire family still calls me Danny. And then friends, like you guys call me Dan. And then people that I pretty much exclusively have a working relationship with tend to call me Daniel. So
that's why I go Dan or Daniel, because I feel like I'm in both categories.
You are very good at it. Like you will say, like when we do a show, you'll, you know, a lot of times you'll bring me out. You mix it out in the bring out, but you'll be like, you can see Daniel Van Kirk on tour right now. Like you'll do it that way in the professional context. And then during the show, you'll be like, Dan, that's not one of John Goodman's movies. So yeah, you know when to change gears with it.
Yeah. I don't know why you thought he was in Black Swan.
I thought he played the mom in Black Swan.
Nuh-uh, he's the mom in Baskets.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was I just got asked by my assistant and friend, Lissa. She was like, did you have a make fun of you name? Like did people change your name in a way to like tease you? And I never really did. I never had like a tease name, with Danny or Daniel. I was born Daniel Nall, and even that leaves little to do with.
That just, I know, you know, I'm sure your parents are lovely, but it's just so, it just sounds like something's gone wrong when you say Daniel Nall.
Daniel Nall. Somebody like you stopped writing while filling out my birth certificate.
they just were so tired from the birth that they started to. But that's the last name, which was already in play, so they didn't really make that up on the spot. Right, but right. What about middle name? Was your middle name of any consequence?
Robert.
Robert, the ert into Nall isn't as bad as Danielle Nall.
Right.
But you know, you're not going to run around going, I'm Daniel Robert Nall. You know, that's too much work.
Well, see, Chris Nall split when I was like 10 months old. So I was just, my mom and her parents, like really, and her brothers and sisters, that's who raised me. So from a child, I was always like, well, I kind of want my last name to be Van Kirk. I feel like that's like 100% to blame for who I am as a person. So they should get all that notoriety. I think 18, I started using it, but it wasn't until my 30s that I legally changed it to Van Kirk.
Lucky that Van Kirk is so regal sounding.
It does sound better, right?
Because they could have had a dumb name.
Oh, I know. And I would have taken it no matter what it was.
Yeah, you'd be like Daniel Beagle.
Yes, like Daniel Harkenfarker.
Harkenfarker. You'd take Harkenfarker over Nall.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if you saw on a marquee Harkenfarker all weekend? You'd go see that show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They'd run out of room and it'd just be Harkenfark. And then
Harkenfarker does sound like a mid-90s. Yeah.
Kirkfarker. Daniel Robert Nall. All right. Yeah. So you got out of the Nall business, and it's been really great.
Not out of me, to be fair, but yes, I eventually left the company as well. but then it wasn't until I got,
so that name, like it, for all intents and purposes, that name is null and void.
There it is.
Hello, it hello, is. Hello. I think I lost the connection. No, where's the don't. Laughter? Where are the smiles?
There's smiles. So it wasn't until my mid-20s when I got my first real good username to make fun of me. That was when a guy named TJ Anarino, who's a great guy, he called me Dan Van Jerk.
Nailed it.
That is real good. That's like in the movie about snobby people, there's a character named Daniel Van Kirk, and then that's what the hero of the story calls him.
Yeah.
Also,
I never knew this would be a thing until I started going as Daniel Van Kirk, that people love to go with the DVK. That was never a thing I thought of. No, I never have. And I'll probably meet someone this year, and within a few weeks of knowing them, we'll probably drop a DVK. And so, I mean, I've definitely embraced it. It's such a clean initials, but
yeah. But those are people that remember full names, you know, because also it is a pretty memorable name, but you got to retain it correctly to come up with DVK.
Yeah. 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 And I don't think you've ever called me DVK.
I just did a second ago.
I know, but prior to this,
on this show I did, but that's because like you were saying earlier, there's a professionalism to changing somebody's name on a show when you refer to them. As long as the people understand who you're talking about. So I will nickname it up sometimes. Isn't that right, Melly Mel?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mel? Are you there, Mel Mel?
Why is it that DVK is so clear? Like, I'm DKM. That sounds horrible. DVK really is so great.
I think it's kind of like what Doug was saying about how Robert like lends itself better to not, like the sounds roll together, like you're already there. And then the K like stops it, which I think feels gratifying. Like, like it always feels good. Oh, I can tell you guys this about my name. This is a big one. And it has nothing to do with last name at all. But I will say that it always feels so good to say a name, like to say a word and know that there's no doubt that the person understood you. Like, you know, when you're like on the phone and you're like P and you feel like you have to go as in Peter, because you never know like what they're catching out of that. Like DVK, I just feel like it's so defiant in like what it is. There's no mistake, which dovetails into this. One of the reasons I started going by Daniel is I realized in like loud bars, loud parties, concerts, people from any language, Daniel can be pronounced by literally anyone from anywhere. And it is so much easier to understand. Like if we were at a festival and it was some packed after party and one of you guys introduced me to somebody and I say, Dan, a lot of that times I can get lost. If I go Dan Van Kirk, I'll get like Dave, like people, Dave and Kirk. So Daniel really like is, it's muscle memory at this point. I will always introduce as Daniel. And then sometimes people go, oh, they called you Dan. I thought you said your name was Daniel. I go, yeah, that's just always, it's just so much cleaner when I introduce. No doubt what they heard. And like, if you're, you know, I hope this isn't come out weird or whatever, but, a lot of times, like when I would take cabs, like in Chicago or New York or here, and a lot of times people from other countries tend to like take those jobs and have those jobs. And so I found that like, if they would ask my name, Daniel was just clean. They just knew exactly what I was saying.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Doug is pretty good too, right? Like you never
mostly, but we've talked about it. Like we get Greg, you know, in a loud bar or.
Oh, okay.
I shared with Benson last week that I was ordering a breakfast taco and the woman yelled dong. She thought dong. I was like, cool.
Yeah. That's what happens is one person will write it down and another person will read it. That could be an issue.
Yeah.
And, but like, I just got another D-O-U-G-H, or no, I just got the pronunciation dough from a Postmates guy. Like it just happens. It's just a, you know, it's definitely a cultural, you know, international thing, but also just the name Doug in most circles, you don't really need to know how to spell it to get by. So when it comes up, it's tricky. So I will just often jump to spelling it early and hope that the person's not one of those people that looks at you like, I know how to spell Doug.
Like, is your name pronounced differently in any other languages?
It's not even, I guess, do we figure out what language it like started off in the like very English? Beginning, Doug?
I
think it's like Norwegian or something.
Yeah, but
like, is it Doch in other or is it Duj in other languages?
Hey, listen, that's my mother you're talking about. I don't know. I don't really have the answers to that, but you know,
because I don't think Daniel changes at all.
Yeah, I just think Doug doesn't translate a lot of places because. As I mentioned before on the show, like in my Spanish class, the teacher had to ask me my middle name because there's no, they call everybody in the class by their Spanish equivalent and it, Doug doesn't have one.
Ooh. Wow.
So I was Esteban and I wouldn't answer. And he'd say, he'd come right over to me and go, why aren't you answering? I go, because my name is Doug. You know, just say it in an accent. But
that was a good accent.
It never happened. Yeah, I didn't even know how to. That's how not, you know, it's just not the name has no, there's nothing exotic about it whatsoever. No. Douglas at least sounds like somebody that you probably don't want to be mad at you, like a general or, you know, somebody that's going to be great in a debate. All right. So,
great in other languages.
What's that?
I bet your guys' name sounds great. Like even Douglas in another language is probably like Dulos. Like I bet it's a cool sounding name.
Yeah, maybe. I don't care for that do sound.
I know.
Daniel, where are you at with the Elton John song, Daniel?
Love it. I saw him in concert, I think at the end of 2019. And I didn't think he'd play it because I don't think it's considered one of his bigger hits, but I absolutely love it. Did you know it's about a kid, like, if I should know this, but it's either going back to or coming back, going to or coming back from Vietnam?
Dude, it is. That's what it's about. But he and that guy, Bernie Taupin, Bernie would write the lyrics.
Yep.
Tell Elton what it's about. And Elton would, you know, sing them. And Elton would come up with the, you know, what I think are amazing melodies. So, you know, you could pretty much say, you know, I went into a deep dive of Elton John lyrics and I don't care for them. So a lot of them. And also he just sings them in a way you can't understand what he's saying. So you have to look it up to understand that he's singing, you know, like mohair suit. So Elton does not have a brother named Daniel.
Nope.
It's about a Vietnam vet. But they cut that verse.
I didn't know that
he decided not to have the verse about the vet. So there's a line, Daniel's traveling tonight on a plane, but then it ends up saying that he's going to Spain and there's no explanation.
The red tail lights heading for Spain. Ooh, pretty good. I know, guys. I know. It's a natural.
Yeah. Which is another lyric that I never knew. I always just heard, you know, he's headed insane. You know, like his head is insane. I didn't know what Elton was saying. But anyway, I just like by another great Elton John lyric is the one where they sing it. Oh, what's the song where he goes? Where he goes, if I was a sculptor, but then again, no. He's like, as he's writing the lyrics, he doesn't have to put in the part where he disagrees with his own.
Scratches out the lyrics. But then again, no. Or a man.
Yeah.
Makes pictures in a traveling show.
Hey, do you want to work this shit out and then make a song about it?
Don't edit live. That's for podcasting only.
Like Elton must have looked at Bernie and went, is this a draft? Are you going to put in something instead of, and then again, no?
It's like that one song, You and Me and You, Neo, no matter how that had to be. And it is a part in the song where they go, so happy together. And then they must have run out of rhymes because the guy just goes, so how is the weather? What? What is that?
Who wants to play tether? Yeah.
Have you met my friend Heather? I was named after a song.
Now we're getting somewhere, and it's not Daniel by Elton John.
It's the most obvious choice. If you were
another song with Daniel, Doug, do you have a guess?
I can't think of another Daniel song.
Daniel,
is
it Danny? Oh, Danny Boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The pipes.
Like one of the saddest songs ever. Yeah. So sad.
Yeah, no, it's like nobody ever busted out of a place where people are happy.
No,
it's a wake or something.
And my tied for first with When Harry Met Sally, but my tied for first favorite rom-com, Return to Me, at the end of it, Carol O'Connor and Robert Loggia, and forgive me for not knowing the other two gentlemen's names, they sing Oh Danny Boy, and they sing it appropriately, so sad at the end of that movie. But also like really beautiful as well. He's doing it with the full Irish dialect and everything. Yeah, my mom loved that song. And so she named me Danny Boy after it. And then she told me that when she passes away, she wants that song played at her funeral. To which I said, do you think that my other two brothers would find that to be a little on the nose towards one of your kids? And she's like, just tell them it's for all my kids. I'm like, you tell them right now.
Yeah, get that out in some sort of memo.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to seem Boy played at my mom's funeral and not include my other two.
What are the other two gentlemen's names?
Matt and Vance.
Okay, so for Vance, they could sing.
What?
Maybe a Vance Joy song.
Or isn't there a song called like Vannon? Well, I know it's a documentary. But I feel like you got me to watch, or maybe I told
you. Or just, you know, like a disco song, like dance, dance, dance. And the DJ could just say Vance.
That would work.
Yeah. And then who's the other one again?
Matt.
Is there a good Matt song?
A Matthew song.
Some biblical song.
There you go. Yeah. I don't know.
Matt. Yeah, I can't think of a good Matt.
I mean, you could just go Matt's in the Cradle in the Silver Spoon.
Oh, I like that. That's really good. All right, we did it. We set it up so that the funeral is going to have really sad songs and one dance song. So maybe open with a dance song, then go to Cats in the Cradle, and then wrap it up with Danny Boy. And also, I don't know, what do they do? Just put a lot of plastic on the floor for all the crying that's going to happen?
No, it's so
do they
sad.
Secure, you know, the like, church, or is it just suddenly like now you're in the fucking ark and you're, you know, off to sea?
You gotta pull it out. There's like an extended version of that song that's even more sad. There's like a fourth verse that almost no one's singing.
How sad do you need to be?
Yeah, and how long can the pipes call for?
That's good. Exactly. Can I say something else, or do you want to?
Go ahead.
You know what else happened to me a lot? And you guys, tell me straight up if you would do this. You were talking about teachers saying your name. It still happened to me. Oh my gosh. I'm forgetting right now the exact instance, but I want to say it was within a week ago. So it's been happening my whole life. Most happened with teachers first day of school. I'd get Danielle.
Oh.
And it never became a complex for me, you know, when you're a little kid, like, don't call me a girl. I never had any of that stuff. The only thing it did was it made me think that my teacher was so dumb.
Were like, they
had to be, right? Like, Daniel is as old as the Bible. I'm not saying you have to put any credence in the Bible. I'm just saying it's that old and it's spelled the exact same way.
Like, just be like, how do you spell Daniel?
Right. Yeah. Because if you think it's this way, do you even know how to spell Rick? Like, what?
But, you know, were any of these teachers French?
Nope.
Because it could have been Daniela.
Oh, sure.
You know, I bet you there's some Daniels over there that just have an accent over the... But anyway,
doing it.
That's a great... I can't believe it. That is really that's a wild one. I guess because, and we've talked about this before, sometimes people get on a train and they can't jump off of it. So like when they see me, they're like, hey, Doug Stanhope, you know, because they're rolling through Doug. They're comfortable. They're doing it right. And the brain just says, fuck you. I'm going to say another Doug. That happens to me from time to time. And, you know, to him as well. That's why Doug Mellard and I started this podcast together, because that way people won't ever do that to either one of us, because they really know the difference. It's one of many reasons.
You never get DB. Nobody ever calls you DB.
I get that. I get a real range of things, because I don't, you know, I don't personally encourage, you know, a single nickname for me. Doug feels like a nickname already.
And Doug, you don't get DM ever?
Sometimes, yeah, I've got a couple of buddies that will call me that.
Do either one of you have people in your life that are just last name people? Like they're constantly in a game of basketball being like, Mellard, Benson.
That's a lot of comics, I feel like.
Yes.
Yeah, comics do it.
It's very natural. I don't know why that happens, but there's a lot of comics where I just refer to them by their last name, and I don't know where that comes
from. You do it too?
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, locker roomy, or, you know, when you work with other people, you probably refer to them by their last name. There's something about compliments or insults with a last name have more weight or sting, you know, depending.
Yeah. And then you encounter like the to me, which is like the most obscure kind, which are full name people. Like you always say their full name, and everyone else always says their full name too.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, and every once in a while you run across somebody that their last or first name sounds like their full name. So you like, okay, I'll play along and say their full name every time. But you find out later you're not even, you don't even know what you're doing. There's even more to it. Yeah, I don't want to say any examples though, because, you know.
There's a comic out of Austin, Eric Krug, that I'm buddies with. And I always just call him Krug. And it's such a, like, it's not a pretty name, Krug, you know, it's kind of nasty. But at our wedding, every time I gave a speech, which, you know, I had to give a few speeches, I would thank everybody, tell everybody I loved them. And I would always end every speech with, except for Eric, except for Krug, he's a real piece of shit. And I would point him out.
Which is when you like, which means you like him a lot.
Yeah. And aunts and uncles would go up to him. Are you that piece of shit? It was great.
Oh my God. I can't, I wouldn't be able to handle that. I'm glad you're not getting married again. I hope not. Anyway. Because I think I'd be invited to this next one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But I'm never offended by not being invited to a wedding, because the great thing about not being invited to a wedding is you don't have to go to a wedding.
True.
You just have to swallow it, though, if you feel like you deserved an invite. Mm-hmm. Dan Van Kirk, have you ever played a character named Doug?
I don't think so. I was in this UCB sketch called The Teacher's Lounge. And for some reason, I feel like my name in that was Doug.
Were you, did you play a docile, easily beaten down character?
No, I was like a loud.
Oh, a loud Doug.
Coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out of control, Doug. Like, notice me. I'm Doug.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some of those. I find some people, that's how they compensate for being a Doug, is they, you know, they go into the, you know, they get kind of rageful.
Now, Doug, you've played yourself, but DM, have you ever played a Doug?
I'm sure I've played, you know, just a sketch thing with my own name, but I can't think of it. It's weird. You say that character was a coach. It's weird to think of a coach Doug. That really? Doesn't seem like a coach you'd respect. That's why Doug Peterson got fired from the Eagles, probably.
There you go. That's who I was. I was like, wait, I know a coach
name. Well, there's like, you know, Doug's can be a good name for a threatening figure, because initially it's not a threatening name, but then you find out, oh, this person is a psychopath that just happens to be named Doug, like Douglas Niedermeyer in Animal House.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Doug is a friendly name. Like,
I think so too.
Patient to them, and like, oh, it's my buddy Doug. Like, that's kind of how nobody's ever like, that's Doug. I hate that guy. It's always like, hey, this is Doug. Like, oh, yeah, Doug's here.
Friendly for sure. Friendly, but not necessarily like also maybe forgettable and, you know, maybe even shy. I'm just saying that Doug Mellard and I really came out of our shells. We're trying to coax other Dougs out of their shells. To try, you know, whatever it is you want to be, it's never too late, except for if it's way too late. So you're a connected guy, Daniel.
Yes.
Do you have any first, or I should say second gentleman, Doug Emhoff connections?
No.
We want to try to get him on the show. We haven't figured it out yet.
Doug Emhoff? Who is that?
That's the second gentleman. That's the man that's married to our vice president. He's the first time this has ever happened, right?
Yes.
He's our first second gentleman.
Is he the most prominent Doug, you think?
He, right now, well, I'd call him the most prominent Doug, but you weren't familiar with him, so I'm gonna say most prominent is probably Dougie Fresh.
Or the animated Doug, which I'm sure you guys have covered ad nauseum.
Oh yeah, he's really big, but he's not, you know, he hasn't made an episode since he broke his hip.
Oh, I have a Doug in my family.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm related to a Doug. And you know what? Great guy. One of my earliest influences on comedy, like still super funny to this day. Saw him at the family reunion last month. And, I love every time I get to hang out with Doug and his wife, Sherry, but Doug's just like, God, he's a great dude. He had just officiated his, stepdaughter's wedding. So he's a little gregarious and, He's a great representative of the Doug name. So
I think so.
You got a good Doug in Rochelle, Illinois, holding it down.
We want all the best Dougs. We want to know about them. We want to invite them to shows. We've got a show coming up in San Antonio. Ooh. where Doug and I are going to do, it's my show or whatever, but you know, Doug's been invited to join me there. It's going to be on Sunday, August 8th at the LOL Comedy Club in San Antonio. And
I haven't worked it out with the club yet, but we want to set up something special for all the Dougs that attend the show. So if your name's Doug, don't buy a ticket yet if you're going to come, because we're going to try to set up some sort of deal or something. You have to prove your name is Doug when you show up.
You are.
And also the club might even... I'm just kind of spitballing here, so the club might just say, we can't do that. So, we'll see what happens with
LOL.
That.
LOL? Isn't that big room right behind the
Twin It's a team? Huge room, but, you know, people are, a little bit shy about going back out, and also some clubs, I don't think this one does, but some clubs, you know, want people to mask up or prove they're vaccinated. You know, there's all sorts of, you know, it's just different from every, you know, town to town, venue to venue. You know, it just depends on everybody involved, the people that own the venue, the local rules, you know, who's breaking the rules. But Doug's you've known other than that guy and me and now Doug Mellard, what other Doug's have you known,
man? Well, first of all, I should give his full name, because my cousin Doug has a great full name. Like, you can be like, oh, friendly guy. Like, you just know Doug Bunger.
Doug Bunger. What a name.
I know, right? Doug Bunger.
That's a cartoon.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel like I wouldn't turn my back to him.
He is a bit of a jokester. Like, he can be a prankster every now and again. But yeah, Doug Bunger.
He does pull pranks.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's
pranksters. You, like, they scare me. I'm not comfortable around pranksters.
Oh, I hate a prank. I hate pranks, and I hate prank wars, because then when does it stop? Like, somebody just has to give up. So
somebody dies. What's gonna happen?
Somebody's gonna die.
Man.
So you don't know.
Oh, you know
every war is about escalation.
I worked at Second City with a guy named Doug, and he was one of the most, like, just sweet and, like, super fun, great guy. We would go, like, sometimes after shifts, we'd all go up to Boys Town, and he always knew. It's like, you know, Sidetracks had, like, one of the best rooftops. I remember him telling me all about that. Doug was great. Doug and Anna, they were roommates, and they were, like, a package deal of always a good time. So, I wonder.
And then feel like... You're still comfortable saying Boys Town. It hits the weird ear. It hits the ear weird for me.
You know what? I was just thinking about this. So I was back in Chicago on the map, like if you zoomed in right now to just east of Wrigley Field, it'll say Boys Town, and everywhere throughout the neighborhood, that's whatever, like, it's on the, like, light posts and stuff like that. It's just Boys Town. It's like officially the neighborhood of the city. Like, we're here, we just call West Hollywood, but it is Boys Town in Chicago. But if anybody tells me I have to stop saying it, I'll jump whatever you want. I'll say whatever you want.
No. I think it's, you know, I now that you explained it, I feel better about it. I just didn't know if it was like, I didn't know if it was an old timey expression. It's just like, cause like right now in the, Oregon area, is it Oregon or Washington? No, up in Washington. There's an area near Seattle called White Center, where it's kind of a, you know, it's a, not hippies, but, you know, it's a pretty chill community. And, but they kept talking about it in the news. They kept saying White Center. And it just, like, that hit my ear so weird to, like, for anything to be named after, you know, it's just whiteness, you know, even though, you know, who knows why it's called that. Where are we with Doug's? Have you thought of all of them?
Let's see. So we had Doug from Second City, Doug Bunger, my cousin. I don't know.
I mean, I just, what did they nickname him? Dunger? I would just shorten the whole thing and just call him Dunger.
I wonder. I don't know. Cause he's like, I would say like 10 to 12 years older than I am. So I always super looked up to him too. You know, when you're growing up, like, he was so cool. But I never knew.
Oh, yeah?
I never knew him socially, like in his youth, or like what other people would call him. But man,
you just admire Doug Bunger from afar.
Exactly. And I was just
kid, you just be like, "Holy shit, Doug Bunger! That guy's really got it going on."
Yeah,
Doug Bunger.
Bunger.
Doug Bunger.
Bunger.
Doug Bunger.
I don't know. I can't think of any other Dougs, but I guarantee.
Sorry, I just pictured him saying his name like James Bond. Bunger, Doug Bunger.
That's great.
I mean,
right?
you gotta be able to pull out another one from your bunger.
It does sound like a King of the Hill character name, and I mean that with love. Yeah, I would. I mean, Doug, you're Benson DB. You,
yeah.
You're. I mean, I would. It's not hard to say. You're my closest hug.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah,
you are my closest. Even if your name was like Nathan, but you're definitely my closest Doug.
Oh man, do you think Bunger's gonna be upset?
That's what happens. That's what happens with most of the guests, because I book the guests on the show, and then I tend to be their number one Doug, which is a nice feeling, but also it's just keeps reiterating the point that there are Dougs in the world, but they're not ubiquitous.
Do you guys respect a middle name Doug, or is it just first name or nothing?
Oh, like we will have. We had
our middle name Doug.
Justin Timber, not Timberlake. Justin Martindale's middle name is Douglas.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, so he did the show.
I love him.
You know, I mean, right now we're just having people on that we like, just talking about names and stuff. And then we also prepare questions for you. We're running a little bit behind, but I think we can do this. We've got five questions written specifically for you, Daniel Van Kirk. And we'll ask you them after the break. We'll be right back.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. We've got five questions written especially for Daniel, Danny Boy, Van Kirk. Oh, I could get a lot of nicknames for you. The next time you go up against Sam Levine, I can list them all off. I have so many nicknames for Sam. Could make it like a real wrestling match.
You and I were in New York when we thought of the nickname Slam Levine, because he's always slamming people on stage.
He slams them hard with his trivia knowledge. Mm-hmm. But before we do the 5 and 5 questions, we would like you to
eat some leftovers.
Woo, I'm in.
Last episode, yeah, we want, sorry for the yelling, but we want you to essentially answer some leftover questions. Last episode, we didn't get to any of our questions that we had written for Rory Scovel, who was a great guest. That's why we didn't get to the questions. That's why we're running behind on your show, Dan, is because you're also a great guest. So would you mind answering his questions first, and then we'll get to yours?
I'll 100% answer his
question. It's a weird order to do things, to eat the leftovers before the main course, but I think you can handle it. Doug Mellard, you go ahead and go first. Tell us your first question that you had for Rory Scovel.
I wanted to know, because he's in the upcoming film Babylon, which has an amazing cast, including Flea. I just wanted to know if he had ever worked with any other Chili Peppers.
He has not worked with any Chili Peppers other than Flea. But his first scenes that he's shooting are of him and Flea together in the movie.
Whoa.
Because, you know, technically, like, Brad Pitt's in the movie, but I don't think they're going to work together. But they will. He'll always be like, yeah, it's in the same movie as Brad Pitt. But Flea and him are in scenes together. So he is working with a Red Hot Chili Pepper right now, probably literally as we're recording this.
Whoa. The cast really is insane. It's felt like everybody in Hollywood in it.
Right. And then Roar.
And then, but yeah, no Anthony, what's his name? What's the lead? Yeah. that'd be a weird casting thing, I guess. Opposite Brad Pitt, Anthony Kiedis.
Agreed. I mean, Anthony Kiedis is never going to top his work in the original Point Break.
Yeah. Which I heard. Oh, yeah, the whole band, right?
Oh, I don't know if they're all in it, but I just know that he's the one that gets his toe shot up.
Yeah, I think it was the entire band. They're like that group of like punks.
Yeah, that could be. It could be all of them. It's just, you know, it's all moves very quickly.
And I think there was some real trouble on set. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just asking. So when Point Break came out, what was that, 96, 95?
Oh, I don't know. I'm terrible. Already popped,
right? Like they were huge by then, or was it like this very...
I'll tell you, it's an interesting story on the set. It was on the set of Point Break during a scene where they were doing stunts and they get broken in on when they're like, you know, they're with their ladies and they're having like a party, or, you know, they're having like a, so nobody's got any clothes on. So it was just the craziest thing. It's in the outtakes reel. They fell and all of their dicks fell into socks. And so ever since then, they have been kind of known for that. They would go out on stage and they'd take pictures with socks in their dicks because they tripped and fell, all four of them at the same time. It was like, it's too bad they didn't make a TikTok of it, but you know, they weren't filming. They were busy falling. They were busy with their dicks falling into socks.
Mm-hmm. That's how they say hi to their mom, like Carol Burnett.
You mean make a dick talk out of it?
Yeah.
There you go.
I did a poll on Twitter recently because, see, this is again back to me being annoyed by lyrics. Like, there's some groups and some bands and some people who I think make beautiful music that I can listen to and I love very much. But that, like, you know, just like, you know, can you imagine if there's like a poem you hate, having to like hear it over and over again just because it's set to music you like? Right. Cause that's what's happening to me. But anyway, so I did a poll on Twitter. I said, who has the worst, who has the worst lyrics? And I said, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Elton John, The Killers, or, Banjo Butthole. And guess what?
What?
Red Hot Chili Peppers got the most votes as having the worst lyrics over a band I made up called Banjo Butthole. Everyone thinks their lyrics are not as bad. They're lyrics that don't exist. But also I thought of another one. A lot of the lyrics in Pink songs drive me crazy.
Really? You don't like Family Portrait?
Pink's got some really, really annoying lyrics.
Okay.
We're just a bunch of little nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. What?
Yeah.
let's keep wearing the socks on our dicks, guys, so no one will notice how bad our lyrics are.
It doesn't, but that's the thing, is it doesn't really matter. It's only bad to, you know, it's bad to me, but also I did feel some vindication though that votes were thrown around to all four of those artists, including the one I made up. Question number one, from Doug Benson to Rory Scovel, co-star of Physical on Apple Plus TV Plus with Rose Byrne. He goes toe-to-toe with her, like she's the lead and he is like right there a lot of the time. So it's very cool to watch him on there. I mean, it's cool to watch you on there, Rory. Is there an episode in the series where we don't see you naked?
There is not. We were supposed to not have nudity because it really didn't like pertain to the storyline for the finale. But I fought pretty hard to be nude in that. And so we compromised, and I guess it must be like a TV show or movie making thing. They call it Winnie Pooh in it. So for the last half of the finale, I'm just in a like red polo shirt. And after a while, like, I completely forgot. Like, they'd come in between takes and be like, here, you know, here's like a robe or like a towel or whatever. And I would totally, I'm like, if it's not bothering anybody else, like, I'm fine. But then they'd be like, no, it is bothering other people. So they would make me put it on. But yeah, I have no bottoms, but I do have shoes on. That is the only part that felt weird.
It sounds to me like you made it a fun alley.
I mean, it depends on your perspective, and the HR person that I had to speak to didn't think so, but yeah, I was just trying to feel free in the moment.
All right. That's a perfect answer. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
There it
is. Cause it's most, you know, it's your ass, you know, I don't think we see your, pork and beans.
No, you won't. You won't, but it is a lot of my butt.
Maybe a bean.
I mean,
one bean.
I haven't seen it. They
might under have. Bean, under beans.
Yeah.
Oh man, I saw some under beans. I think maybe under. There might have been some under beans because they really get in there on his butt.
Why?
I felt there were many times where I felt like I'm like they have to be seeing everything because they give you that little chamois to wear, but it is not. I mean, that,
yeah. We ran out right away and bought a smaller TV.
I get it.
All right. Go ahead, Doug. Ask your second question for the great Rory Scovel.
All right, Rory. You starred in, you were opposite with Schumer and I Feel Pretty. And I just want to know, do you feel pretty?
Oh.
This actually kind of ties into the last one. I do feel pretty now because after like that many days on set being nude, you eventually just get comfortable with who you are as a person. Like you have to. Well, I found out that not everybody else has to get comfortable with you as a person, but you have to get comfortable with yourself. So after shooting Physical, I do feel pretty. I didn't feel very pretty in I Feel Pretty, but now I did. Also, you know, in Dean, when I did that with Demetri Martin, I felt very pretty in that too.
Excellent.
Yeah, I feel pretty now.
It's good to know which ones which times you feel pretty and which ones you don't. You don't really know that when you go through somebody's filmography.
Hard to tell. Yeah, it doesn't always come across.
You don't have access to that info, so that's good stuff. What was the question again, Doug?
Do you feel pretty?
Oh, yeah, okay. I just like to keep track of these things because I like to write things down and then throw it into the garbage. Do you feel pretty? Okay. Oh, shit. Ah, damn it. I'm not ready for my next question. I need like a prop. So let's stall for a second. Daniel, do you want to hit us with some plugs? What do you got to plug?
So Rory and I, or Daniel and I, depending on what context you're listening to this show, we have our podcast called Pen Pals, where people write us letters about anything in their life. It's not like necessarily advice, but it's anything you write to a friend about what's going on in your world or something you're contemplating or whether or not you want to know what we think of the type of dog you should get, whatever it is. It's just Pen Pals. We say it's your podcast. We just talk about it. And as of July 28th, our first full episode is part of the Team Coco Network. Wow. So we're doing podcasts with Conan, which is a great thing that I'm still so jazzed about and can't believe. We'll have guests. Our very first guest is Casey Wilson. And I hope people come check it out. We do two letters every single episode. It's light. It's fun. It's heartfelt. And hopefully very comedic at the same time. They kind of go everywhere, and so do we. Other than that, I have Dumb People Town, a great podcast I co-host with the Sklar Brothers. People can check that out wherever they get their podcasts. And then I'm on tour starting August 11th. I'm going places like Chicago, Minneapolis, Florida, Mobile, New York, Cleveland, everywhere. It's like 50 cities. So that all starts on August 11th in Chicago, Illinois. Go to danielvankirk.com for tickets. If the ticket links aren't live yet, you'll still be able to see exactly when I'm coming to a town near you or hopefully your town. So I hope people come out because I can't wait to be back.
August 11th to when?
till the tour is scheduled to end November 19th in Rochelle, Illinois, and Doug Bunger will be there.
August 11th to November 19th. And do you come like back to LA sometimes, or is that just straight through?
No. So like I'll be back in LA like September 1st for a couple weeks, and then I'll go out again for like 10 to 12 more days. And then I'll be back, I think, for like a week and a half or 2 weeks in October. And then first week of November, I'm here, and then I'll go back out and wrap up the tour in like San Francisco, Sacramento, maybe Petaluma, San Diego, Vegas, and then Rochelle.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got all that in.
Thanks for letting me. I appreciate that.
50-city tour, one city per year.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, if your name's Doug and you come out to a show, I want to meet you personally. I can't tell you how you've been, but I would like to meet you.
I'd be so happy if some Dougs went up to you and said hi.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really is a passport to conversation. I don't know much more after that would happen, but at least you know, say hi. And yeah, but I like having a reason. Like, I was at a party the other night where there was, you know, a couple somewhat notable figures, and you know, I had different levels of reasons to, you know, some of them I felt like comfortable just talking to, like I knew they'd know me. Others might remember me if I think I have the right thing to say, and other people I just don't know what to say or do to even start a conversation with that person. So I probably won't, unless I get lucky and they're like standing next to, you know, ask me to pass an hors d'oeuvre or something. So what was the point of this story?
You were saying it's always good to have a way in, like, oh, I heard you on the Doug Boys podcast.
Yeah, it's just nice to have something to say, because it's already tough enough for people to go to a show and then just walk up to the person they came to see and just start talking. Like, so many people tell me after, oh, I went home because I just didn't know what to say, you know.
Just say good show. But DB, weren't you at a party once where like Brad Pitt was the person who tried to find something to say? Like, kind of inserted himself into your guys' conversation, and you're like, wow, this is not the way I thought that would go. Or am I misremembering that?
No, I would not shut up talking to him until he just left the party. No, I mean, he was cool. I didn't leave completely because of me, but I just feel like he was just there alone and not just sort of making an appearance, and then got too many, you know, too much attention or more attention than he would like. I don't know, but he was super nice. And I touched him. I still don't know why I touched him. I also touched Joe Biden once, but that's another story. All right. So my question number two for Rory was going to be, and now I'm ready to administer this question.
You got your prop.
Oh man, we're so close to running out of time. The question is, heads or tails?
Ooh. Tails.
Okay, here goes.
I love it. It's like radio play.
Oh man, this is nervous.
It's tails.
Whoa.
Do it. And when you ask Daniel next week, I guarantee he says heads.
No, we don't ask him the same questions.
Oh, okay. Well, damn it. But I'm glad.
Yeah, we asked you that one, Rory. We don't need to save it for Dan.
Oh, I didn't know if it came up every once in a while. If you ever...
I'm getting lost.
No, I think the flip a coin thing was such a hit. I'll probably never do it again. All right. Question three from Doug. We've only got a minute left. Go, go, go.
All right. You got a new project, Live Without Fear. What's the most dangerous thing you've done in your life?
Oh man. One time, Billy Wayne Davis and I'm not going to out the person who it was, but we were certain that this, like booker for this club was definitely going to kill us. So I didn't do it. But I found myself in danger, and I'm not underselling it when I say we had to escape. Like, I thought we were going to die. God. Yeah.
Is that Green Room, the movie?
Yes. But with more dogs.
Oh my God.
And the same amount of Patrick Stewart's.
Did you get paid?
Yeah, we had already got it. It wasn't even related to, like, it was like, hey, you guys want to hang out? And then things took a real dark turn.
Oh boy. Comedy.
Ask me about it sometime. I'll tell you. Or ask Billy Wayne Davis, because his version of the story is even funnier.
That is rough.
Well, thank you for trying to eat all these leftovers, Dan. We've run out of time, but we got through some of them, and we appreciate you taking them off our hands. We're going to try to ask your questions to our guest next week. Our guest is, you might know him best from House Flippers. His name is Steve Stuntsfern.
Steve Stuntsfern?
Stuntsfern. No, I don't know who the guest is going to be next week. But Doug Mellor, do you have anything to plug?
I will be at Secret Group in Houston, Texas, July 30th. Get tickets now.
Hell yeah.
Like it.
That's a great club, yeah. Great vibe.
Yeah, so cool. Doug Loves Movies. Doug Loves Movies is taping again at returning to the home of Eddie the Eagle, the San Diego American Comedy Company. Downtown, July 31st at 4:20 in the afternoon. Should be super fun. Fairly safe. Right. We're hoping everybody, you know, shows up all vaxxed up, I like to say. Thank you, Daniel Van Kirk. This was a fantastic hour.
It was both
sweet and salty. And I think everybody's going to be coming back for more. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I'm at that weird part of the high where I'm not high anymore. So that's when I really sound high.
Yeah.
And that's when I really like, oh, what's wrong with him? He sounds really high. Oh no, I'm not high at all. As always, Doug People Town.